I can't help but to say this. I was just sharing with Brantley, a song was playing before we got started this morning. And I heard that lyric again, Brantley, that you and I were talking about just right before I got up here. Somehow the one who made the world thinks the world of me. Think about that this morning, man. Everybody here, everybody look this way. I'm talking about you. If you had a mirror in front of your face, first you would see that you are beautiful. But second, you would see, if you could see through God's eyes, the one who made the world thinks the world of you. That is good stuff. So some of you can leave on that this morning. That's all you needed to hear. And so Father has done his job with that. So, man, we thank you for being here this morning. And I always hate to be the bearer of bad news. Some of you have heard it, but you guys remember our friend JoJo. JoJo always wore a safety vest. You remember JoJo? Most of you that have been with us since the old place, he was here every week back then and then a few times at this place. But our dear brother passed away this week, and I just know without a doubt, without a doubt, he is in the arms of Jesus now. He is healed and whole. It doesn't take away from our hurt and our loss here. And my good friend Barry is here this morning. I know he's had a friend that he has lost, a dear friend that has been with him for a lot of his life as well. And so loss hurts. We are meant for relationship. And boy, when those relationships are broken here in this place, no matter the promise of seeing them again, it still hurts. In fact, some of you might have seen it. I've got a bracelet on this morning that JoJo, I never will forget that day, came up at our old place and took that off his wrist and hugged me and gave that to me. He says, God is bigger. And I believe he truly believed that in all his heart. So I miss my friend this morning. I just want to open us in a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the word this morning. So, Father, we thank you that you are a God that cares about every detail of our life, those when we lose, when we win, and everything in between. You just care about us deeply. The one who made the world thinks the world of me. It's awesome to think that. It's awesome to reflect on that. And Jesus, just may we get that this morning. If nothing else, our time gathered together today, we would understand just how absolutely in love, in crazy love you are with us. Jesus, we thank you. We need you. Be with our hearts this morning. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. We pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, man, last week, our brother Freddie, he killed it, as he always does. I got to watch and catch up. I was out last week, but he said these words, I overshare because I belong to Christ and to you. I thought that was such a beautiful statement. So, Freddie, when you see this later, or if you're watching now, he couldn't be with us this morning, I just pray that you keep oversharing with us. And he also mentioned a Floby. Did anybody hear that last week? A Floby, the infomercial? I'm here to confess that's what happened to my hair. I used a Floby long ago, and the secret's out. Freddie, he busted my secret. I didn't know any of y'all would remember the Floby, but man, he's dipping back on that one. So beautiful, beautiful job. He talked about adoption. We're in the book of Ephesians. I did the introduction 2 weeks ago, and then he picked up the first five verses, but just the adoption, the predestined adoption. Do you know this morning that you were chosen and redemption was always the plan? You know that God knew that you would sin. God knew that I would sin, and adoption was always part of the plan made possible by redemption, buying back, made possible by the redemption of Jesus. Always the plan. I love to say it this way. When Adam and Eve sinned, the first sin, there was not a panic tribunal meeting in heaven of what do we do now? It was creation knowing that sin would happen. And Jesus, remember, John 1, had always been knowing that he would step in and buy your freedom. Adoption as sons and daughters. Now, you this morning say, well, not for me. You don't know what I've done. I'm so grateful this morning that it has zero to do with what you've done or haven't done or will do. Zero. Watch this. Back at you. Adoption, sons and daughters. Man, that is beautiful. Chosen before the foundation of the world, Freddie reminded us last week. So this week, I want to read our scripture. We're going to do verses 6 through 10 in chapter 1. I'm going to rewind and read verse 5 because it ties right into verse 6 where we will start. So if you're reading along or you've got your Bible app or you just want to look at it later, Ephesians 1, verses 5 through 10. What I just said, he predestined us for adoption as sons, I will add this, and daughters through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on the earth. Jesus, we need you. We pray that if we've heard this a million times, we pray that the millionth and first, that Jesus, if there's someone here that doesn't know you, that today would be the day of salvation. If we do know you, that today would be the day that we just get a closer glimpse into how truly, madly, deeply in love you are with us, and we walk just a step closer in intimacy with you. That is done by your Spirit and your word alone. May it speak the loudest this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. They're coming to get you guys, flying over us this morning. Not landing, are they? It kind of sounded loud. All right. Well, here's what I want to do this morning. As we start, I want to ask you a question this morning. Who could use something beautiful this morning? Now, I woke up. I got a beautiful lady with me. I'm not talking about that. There's a beautiful lady right here. Beautiful people all gathered around. Beautiful Barry is with us. I'm not talking about that, but something even greater than that, if you can imagine. Who needs something beautiful this morning? I've got something you can rest in that is pure beauty. Pure beauty. Just to rest in it a moment, okay? So Freddie talked about it last week in verse 5, that we are predestined for adoption, chosen before the foundation of the world. And then he continues with this thought of this adoption. And here's what he says, these words, to the praise of his glorious grace. Is that not beautiful, thinking of that? His glorious grace. Do you know a grace that is any better than the glorious grace of Jesus Christ? It's glorious, right? It's a glorious grace. But then he continues on. Listen to what he says. If you want to rest in a beautiful statement, listen to what he says. To the praise of his glory and grace. So all praise to him. All praise to Jesus for his grace, right? Who wants to give Jesus praise for his grace? Do you need it every day? Not just at salvation, but every day, right? So we praise him for his glorious grace, but then he continues on and says this, blessed us in the beloved. My friend, I want you to sit, I want you to bask in the glory and the beauty of this word. You, I want you one time for me, on the count of three, I want you to say your name, not your name. I was at a, by the way, let's just take, this brings back a story. I was at an Honor Society tap-in moment. You know what, have you ever seen those? I say I was at it because I was far on the sidelines watching other people being tapped in. I didn't care much about school at the time. And the smartest people in the school were in the on the gym floor, and they're there, and they got their right hand raised, and they said, I want you to repeat after me. Okay, you got this, Charlie. Am I setting the stage? The smartest people in all the school are standing there, and they said, I, and they say, I, and they said, state your name, every one of them, state your name. Not one of the smart, even I knew, they're wanting your name, like you to say, I, Keith, if I was in the statement, but they said, I, state your name, the smartest people in the school, but Maybe common sense was lacking. I'm not sure right there, okay? But I don't want you to say your name, as in that. I want you to say your given name, your physical name, okay? On the count of three. One, two, three. I heard you. My name's Keith. That name you just said. All right. As beautiful as this sun is, I want you to just hold your hands up. I mean, pretend that you're coming in for a big old hug. I want you to think about this. That name, you are in the Beloved. When Father looks at you, He predestined from the beginning of time, chosen before the foundation of the world, before He ever spoke a mountain, a blade of grass, a butterfly, a duck-billed platypus. You remember watching the old National Geographic, the duck-billed platypus. I don't get it. And the little lizard that runs across the water, all of those things, before He ever thought of them, before the foundation of the world, Jesus says this: we will create man and woman in our image. They will be the apple of our eye. They will mess it up, and I will redeem them because they are our beloved. Before you were ever made. Now, see, that's wonderful because some of you get that. I mean, I got chills, man. I'm standing in the sun. My head is baking right now, but I got chills. I got the Holy Spirit chills because I believe that. But some of you hear that, and it is if there is this gap inside your mind that it's just gone one ear and out the other because you have been brainwashed by yourself and others that somehow your mistakes or your imperfections, your addictions, your whatever, you say, not me. It's crap. It's in the Greek. It's crap. It's hogwash. It is something that, like, just honestly has been a trick, a deception of the enemy that you look in the mirror and somehow feel you aren't good enough. I've said it before. It sounds holy to say that, but really it is a spiritual arrogance to where you think your sin is somehow so great that Jesus' grace isn't enough for it. You aren't that special. You're the apple of His eye, but your sin isn't that special. Jesus literally looked to the people nailing Him on the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I promise He can handle a needle in your arm. I promise He can handle an improper relationship. I promise He can handle the sip a little too far in the bottle. You are His beloved. The apple of His eye. I got two wonderful kids, man. I got, you know, people I love. There is zero they can do to not be my children. Zero. I'm talking murder to the worst of them. Will I be happy? Will I be, you know, like overjoyed? No, I'll be dissatisfied in the action, but still my son, still my daughter. The most valued treasures in all this world. If an earthly sinful dad like me can get that, man, rest in the beauty that you are His beloved. Don't take my word for it. Listen to this. To the praise of His glorious grace on that adoption, that predestined adoption, to the praise of His glorious grace in which He has blessed us in the Beloved. You're in. You're in. Some of you say, man, what do I got to do to join the club? What do I got to do? Brantley, you'll remember this. Where you at, Brantley? You remember early on, man, we're back there. And this is no offense to my Catholic brothers and sisters. I don't even know how to do the sign of the cross thing. But I had somebody come up. You'll remember this story. And they looked at our church, you know, food truck. And they said, well, where's your church? We said, right here. And they said, well, where's the building? Don't need one. We are the church. And they said, how do I join? And this is what I said. I said, you're in. Do you believe? They said, yes, I believe. Again, apologies to my Catholic brothers and sisters. You're in if you believe in Jesus. I don't know how to do that, but I just gave them the best blessing I could. I said, you're in. They said, really? If an earthly church, an earthly family can do that, how much more so the one that spoke you into existence, that got His hands dirty, by the way, in the mud and the clay long before mom and dad ever put on the Marvin Gaye CD. He created you. With a plan and a purpose. If you don't understand the rest, then find somebody else. Find Charlie Vifquin. He'll tell you about all that stuff. But I'm telling you, more so than that, he had the plan before mom and dad ever had the twinkle in their eye and slow dance to Marvin Gaye, right? Like, he had you in mind and said, you are my beloved. It's already stamped on you. I'm so glad it's not in that washable ink. You're his beloved. It's done. You're in. There's nothing you can do to change that. So here's what I challenge you. Why not walk in that truth now? If you know him and maybe you've walked away, then you will be in his presence forever. Why not start walking in it now? To the praise of his glorious grace, blessed in the beloved. Two key words, though. I want you to hear this. Verse 7. In him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, our sins, our shortcomings, our mistakes, our addictions, right? In him we have the redemption by his blood, according to the riches of his grace. Two key words. In him. Here's what that means is not in the church at Southside, not in Keith, not in you, not in your good works, not in your system, not in any of those things, in him. In him. This is so critical with not just your eternity, but in life. Please do not live this life without being in him. Not just for heaven's sake, but do you know when he says in John 10, I came that they may have life. He's already given you life, right? But life more what? You remember? Abundantly. Abundantly. In him, that's how that happens, right? How many of you are like me? Your name, not my name. Try to live it in Keith, in your name, right? In him. In him, there is redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of your trespasses. How? According to the riches of his grace. Anybody remember Scrooge McDuck? I'm getting deep this morning, man. I've said the word crap. I've talked about an honor society, fools that said, state your name, and now Scrooge McDuck. Where will we go next? Scrooge McDuck, man, was swimming in money. Y'all remember it? Some of y'all got an ambition. That's your only life's ambition. I want to tell you, when Scrooge McDuck was buried, if he's buried, I don't know, maybe he's still alive. I don't know how that works in the cartoon world. But I'll tell you this, when he's buried, somebody else is going to be swimming in that pile. Too short of goal. But there is a God in heaven, a Father, a good Father that swims in grace like Scrooge McDuck. Piles of it. Never runs dry. You notice that every episode when it go back, Scrooge McDuck was still swimming in a bigger pile. Never ran out. That's the Father and his grace. It never runs out according to the riches of his grace. Listen. Brother Keith, I try to be as good as I can, but sometimes I get impatient. Sometimes I grow weary. Sometimes I want to knock some of you out. That's just the truth, right? I can start naming names. I'm just kidding. I won't do that. Sometimes you want to knock me out. Why? Because my grace, Jason raised his hand. He wants to knock me out. Sometimes my grace runs out, right? I pull from the well that never runs dry, but sometimes mine does. His does not. Let me say, man, I've done it too many times. Not for him. According to the riches of his grace, you are his beloved. You are blessed in that. And all praise to the glorious grace in him, not in anyone else or anything else, but according to his grace. Listen to this. I told you to rest in the beauty early. I'm going to tell you even more beauty to come. Listen to what he says in verse 8. So he just came out. He says, according to the riches of grace, which this word, I'm going to even go deeper with you. I'm going to quote a theologian this morning by the name of Ric Flair. All right. Which he lavished upon us. Doesn't that sound like a Ric Flair word? Does anybody know who I'm talking about? Ric Flair. Woo! That Ric Flair. Right. Jamie, where you at? You know who I'm talking about. We used to watch that wrestling. Ric Flair. Lavish. The riches of his grace, which he lavishes. Does that word just not sound like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, if you remember that? Like, just lavished you with his grace. I'm a simple guy. I looked up the word, and I've used this one before, and I'm going to try to say it. We didn't say words like this in McCall, Alabama. Sumptuously. Did I say that right? If not, just pretend I did. Somebody said, I don't know. Sumptuously. Doesn't that just sound nice? Like rolling off the tongue. Sumptuously. Like a nice, like, you know, dish of food, like this sumptuous food. You may say, well, what does that mean? It means rich or elaborate, splendid, suggesting great expense. Can I tell you why Jesus can use the word lavish when it comes to his grace? Because it did come at great expense. He walked a hill that you would not have walked for anybody. He laid down a cross that you would not have laid down on, and he did it in your place. And just as if you were there placing the nails in his hand and raising the cross up, and he speaks over that crowd that had beaten him, spit on him, mocked him, cursed him. If you're the Christ, then come down and save yourself. And he could have called one angel. He could have winked and blown away the whole crowd, but his response was to arm himself, as if he pictured in his mind washing the disciples' feet, to arm himself again, yet again, as he continues with you and I, with a basin and a towel, and says, Father, forgive them. Don't hold this against them. They don't know what they're doing. If he can do that lavishly in that moment, I promise you, your mess up from last night or the mess up you may have today, he will lavishly meet you with grace, sumptuously. That's good stuff. Something suggesting great expense. It cost him everything, but he lavishes his grace upon you as if he is lavishing it from a well that never runs dry, because it's simply does not. John 1:16, I wrote it down so I could remember it. It comes to mind and it says this. Some of us that think that grace, somehow that amazing grace that we sing about, oh, sweet the sound, right? Saved a wretch like me. Somehow we feel like the grace runs dry at the moment of salvation. And it's no longer good for the rest of us, right? Like, he forgave me, but now he should just set me on my way and I should behave and be a good boy and a good girl, and you will miss the mark. You will mess up. And I'm so grateful for a passage like this. John 1:16. From his fullness, remember, it doesn't run dry. From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. My translation, if there was a Keith version of the Bible, would say, Keith has received grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. You wouldn't have time for me to keep going. It's available. He lavishes us with this grace according to the riches of his grace. Verse 9, he continues on, making known to us the mystery of his will. You know, he's done that with this book. He's given us the gospel. He's given us calls. He's given us commands. And that is beautiful and is sweet. But what's even more beautiful is that he gives you specific callings that only Michael and only Sam and only Bradley and only Charlie and only Donnie, only you can fulfill. He created you for a purpose. He spent all this time making you, intricately woven together in the secret, knitting you together in your mother's womb, as the psalm says. He did so with a specific purpose in mind that I cannot fulfill. I will not do your calling, your job, your created purpose better than you. And some of you sit there and you say, but you're a pastor and you know the Bible and this and that. Doesn't matter. He created you for that purpose. And he reveals the mystery of his will, not just his written will, but I believe this. I am a big proponent of this. If anyone tells you that he stopped speaking in Revelation, it's just false. He still speaks. The Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. I know that sounds weird. I know that sounds kooky, but that you just know it, man. You know inside of you that voice that's telling you something, to either do something or don't do something, to follow me or follow that. Like, you just know, man. You know him just like he says, my sheep will know my voice, right? I know them and they know me. It's active. It's this continual relationship. He continues to reveal the mystery of his will. If you don't believe it, this little thing right here was never on my radar. It wasn't dreamed up for me. I would have dreamed up something I would have thought was better than this. I had that plan. Didn't work. He led us to this, and it's better than anything I could have drawn in the dirt. I'm telling you, he reveals his will to us. Part of it is this. I'll close with verse 10. To unite all things in him. Now he goes on to say, in the fullness of time. And I'm here to tell you, in the fullness of time, no matter man's scheme or schemes of the devil, all things will 1,000,000% be united in Jesus Christ. In the fullness of time. Church, can I ask you this, though? Why not us practice that right now? All right, I'm about to step on some toes. Republican and Democrats. Woo! That's a mini Ric Flair. You don't want that was a five. You don't want me getting to a 10, Ric Flair. Unite in Jesus. My brother back here, we was talking earlier, grew up in a Presbyterian church. I grew up in a Baptist church. You know what we unite over? Jesus. You see, we've had offers as the church at Southside to join a denomination. Why don't y'all come over here? Even, I'm going to be completely honest, even with the little carrot dangled, if you came and you were part of our club, we might would even throw some major money at this thing, right? We said this, we're non-denominational, but we even took it a step further. We're multi-denominational. Like, I got friends out here that are Church of Christ background, Catholic background, Assembly of God background. Brantley, even one time, I'm putting you on the spot, experimented with a Buddhist background, right? He believes in Jesus now, right? But we come from all different walks of life. But we unite in Jesus. What that means is that there will be theological differences between me and my Catholic friends. We will get to a point, but here's what I love to do. And guys in our leadership can attest that I've done this. Even with leadership, we've sat down at a table before and say, well, why do we have to agree on every single thing? Do you believe that Jesus is the way? They say, yes, me too. That's good enough for me. I don't need the rest of it. Because in all honesty, a lot of that other stuff, it's man-made. And we're probably all wrong. Because we're going to get to God one day, and in the mind of him, we'll probably find out, man, y'all kind of missed the boat on that one. And that's okay, because we know the main thing is Jesus. There is only one way. If you and I can sit down from a table together and talk about what the church at Southside does, I don't care about any of your other theology. I really don't. That'll fly in the seat of in the face of some of you. And I'm okay with that. What I want to unite over is the fact that there is the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through Jesus. That's it. That's the only big thing for me. I don't care about the rest. I don't care about having a denomination or some other name attached to us. We simply named it the Church at Southside because we, get this, wanted to come to the south side of Birmingham and be the church, the body, the bride of Jesus. The hands and feet of Jesus, the church, that's all we care about. Anything else is really just secondary. No matter how big a theology point you think it is, it doesn't matter to me. In fact, I've had people mad at me that I won't argue theology. I don't like it. I don't think it does any good. I think it is something that we just, at the end of it, say, do you believe in Jesus? Yes. Then you're my brother. You're my sister. Let's work on that. Now, can I just ask, do we not see division in our world? My gosh, at the division. In every aspect of the world. Racially, socially, politically, all. You could name them all. But what if this group, look around you. Look around you this morning. Isn't it beautiful? This is a picture of the kingdom of God. Not everybody looks the same. Not everybody acts the same. Not everybody comes from the same background. But you know what? Right there waits in the center for us to unite us all, Jesus. Let's practice it here. Let's lead the way. If we do, and we do that correctly, you may think I'm lying to you. You look at the Bible. We were talking over there earlier about the book of Acts. And after the gospel and this wildfire revival, it all started because people came together centered on Jesus with a common goal in one accord with common ground. It says the believers were together and had all things in common. You know why? Because Jesus was at the center of it all. There were differences in opinion. There were differences in theology. You can read that in the Bible. There's stories of that. But at the end of the day, they said Jesus is what matters most. Guys, that revival started with 12 people and a few handful. Look around you this morning. If we lead the way with uniting others in Jesus, hey, I don't care who you voted for. What about Jesus? By the way, both your candidates stunk. I just be honest. You may be head over heels in love with the other. Both of them stunk, in my opinion. That's my opinion. I don't care which one you check the box for. Here's what I care about. Do you believe in Jesus? If not, let me introduce you. If you do, let's go tell other people about him. That's it. Oh, you're black? Hey, I'm kind of white. It doesn't matter. You know what? I don't care. I don't care if you're from this side of the track or other. It really doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is Jesus. Let's unite over him. Here's why I say all that. It started with 12 and a few handful. If this group here, I'm telling you the God's honest truth, if the Holy Spirit would just fall on us, that's the main thing. We sit at the ship in the harbor and we sit with sails up waiting for the Holy Spirit wind to blow. That's what we do. It's not, revival's not up to us. You picture the harbor, our sails are up. We better not be sitting there when the Holy Spirit blows with sails down and saying, I don't know if it's going to happen or not. I'm sitting with sails up waiting, but I'm telling you this, if this group right here unites in Jesus and asks others in our city to do the same, then watch out, city, county, state, nation, and world. It could happen from right here in this parking lot. A God-sent revival where you look around and all you see is unity because people have done the same thing. I don't care who you voted for. Jesus. I don't care what color you are. Jesus. I don't care your background. I don't care, you know, your theology. Jesus. It can happen. We unite in Jesus. Why? Here's our example. I'll close with this. Your Father and your Savior loves lavishly. All he's waiting on is for you to do the same. What if you just encountered that just unruly coworker, that family member that there's been a rift with for 20 years, that Hatfield and McCoy moment of another family down the street that you just can't stand? What if instead of that, you laid down your pride as an offering, and when you laid down that pride, picked up in your mind a basin and a towel that Jesus carried around and said, I'm going to go and love this person, not just a little bit, not just a sprinkling of love, not just a dash, not just a dip your toe in it, but love this person lavishly. Jesus did it to the point where it cost him his very life. How far are you willing to go? If you loved that person lavishly, I'm telling you that forgiveness and mercy and grace and compassion will now rule and be at the center of that relationship in that same love. Tidbit, it is hard to hate somebody that you are actively serving and praying for daily. Love lavishly, because that is the example that he gave us. Here's my practical advice on that. I look around and I see some beautiful people. You cannot love lavishly all the time in you, but you can love lavishly in him. He loves them that way. You know that. That person that you hate, the person that you checked in your voter's box, and that other person, man, I can't stand that person. Right? We've all been there. Do you know that that person, that individual is the apple of God's eye? Whether you believe it or not, it's in here. He loved them lavishly just like he does you. That person you can't stand sitting across at the other cubicle, that person you can't stand at the camp over, he loves them lavishly and asks you to do the same. Let's pray together. Father, we just pray that everyone in this crowd has had that moment, that in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. That's what your word tells us this morning. First off, we have to start there. If someone doesn't have that relationship, I beg you, Holy Spirit, bring to their heart this morning. You need that. You need redemption through my blood. You need forgiveness. Let them find that. For those of us that have been walking in that, we pray that we would just understand a little deeper how lavishly you love us, how sumptuously you throw your grace at us in a well that never runs dry. Man, may we just pick up a little bit of that and love our world the same. Let us start with the people we can't stand. Let us start with the people that just get on our nerves. If we would just love and serve, I promise, Holy Spirit, you will just begin to soften our hearts. You'll start with us. You'll soften that other part. You can heal broken relationships. You can. I just feel led to say this. Some of us need to have that moment with people we will never hear, and I'm sorry for. Some of us, Father, you're clear with this right now. Some of us have got to have that conversation with somebody that's gone on ahead, that's 6 feet under right now. Some of us got to do some forgiving of somebody that will never, ever be able to say, I'm sorry too. We have to be the bigger person, let that go. You wanted somebody to hear that today. Somebody is holding on to something of somebody that will never apologize to them, and that's okay. The grace of Jesus goes beyond the grave, grace upon grace upon grace. We can be an agent of change in unity. We can be an agent of change in Him, in you, Jesus. Let us step outside ourselves and walk in you. Holy Spirit, we need you. We want revival. We're sitting with sails open, ready for your winds to blow. If you choose to, that's on you. If not, we're still here waiting. But we know it would only happen in you and in the lavish grace and mercy of Jesus. I pray that over everyone's heart this morning. Meet them for the first time or reintroduce that grace to their heart today. Start with me. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Holy Spirit. We love you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.